Welcome to Season 2 of Resting Glitch Face, a Shadowrun actual play.
This is Shannon. I'm playing Eris.
Hi, this is Sid, and I'm playing Jet.
This is Dot. I'm playing Binary.
This is Maddie. I'm playing Collateral.
And my name is Eric, the Game Master. Be warned, some of the following content is not suitable for all audiences. He kind of looks at you for a moment. You're in the library. And then he gets up and he walks over and he kind of looks around and then he grabs a book off the wall and he lays it like spine down, flops open to a page with strange writing and what looks like calligraphy or symbol shaped like a box with a diamond shape inside that contains a cross. He didn't even flip to it. It just went boom. And he says, have you ever seen that symbol before?
Is it the Unity symbol?
No, it's very similar.
Similar, okay. I've seen something similar.
He nods. He says, the reason I ask this question is I could tell that you've seen something like this before.
Mm-hmm. More than once.
And you've been in contact, physical contact with something like this before too, haven't you?
Mm-hmm. More than once.
Do you know what that is?
I kind of know what I've seen and I have a general understanding of the symbol that I've seen, but this specifically, no.
Okay. And he picks up the book and he shows you the spine of it. And he says, this book is a book of symbols and interpretations throughout history. That particular symbol is what is believed to be what's called a maker's mark. Have you ever heard of that?
Can't say that I have.
Well, there are those that believe that in the ancient world, great artisans would stamp a symbol onto their works as this was made by
a signature.
The master. Exactly. Well, there are those that also believe that runes like that or symbols like that hold power.
Right.
And that is the particular symbol of, or it was co-opted by a person named Kenzu Kodora.
I've heard that name before.
Have you?
Yes.
Where have you heard that name before? And he's legitimately surprised when you say that.
Well, and she doodles her own little symbol.
Okay.
And she draws the Unity symbol that she has seen several times now at this point.
Mm-hmm.
And passes it back to him, and I have reason to believe he has something to do with this.
So you draw Unity.
Right.
And then he looks at that and he looks at the book symbol. Mm-hmm. And he says, exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Some say Kodora stole this symbol or appropriated it in his original designs. Kodora was a savant, a genius.
Uh-huh.
A craftsman of unparalleled ability. Some of his designs have, and those who have seen them, supposedly, have incorporated them into other technological advancements.
Yeah, I think I might know of a couple of those advancements.
Yes?
Yes.
Well then, please enlighten me.
I mean, the doctor, for example.
Kobe.
No. That was in the operating room.
Oh, the patient.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Her head was filled with this symbol, and she taps the Unity symbol in front of him.
Really?
I thought that I was tapping into a cortex bomb, for lack of better understanding of what was inside her head. And when I got in there, it was nothing but the symbol.
I see.
Where is that?
Where is the implant?
Yes.
All right. You see his eyes turn towards a bookcase. He kind of nods towards it. He says, it's safe.
Okay.
Do you want to see it again?
Yes.
All right. He kind of sits there for like a tick, just kind of like looking at you. He says, okay. He stands up and he walks over to the bookcase, and you see him just kind of flip a little switch and it slides open a little bit. And you see there's a safe behind one of the sections.
Mm-hmm.
And he puts his palm up to it and then opens it up.
Okay.
And he pulls out that box. He pulls out looks like a carved box. And he turns to you and he says, it's intact. Make a willpower check.
Hell yeah.
Fuck.
Let's do willpower plus charisma.
You charismatic, right?
Yeah, I got 5 charisma.
Fuck yeah.
I got 3 successes.
Okay. So, you know, he's holding it out to you like, here you go.
Mm-hmm.
And you see the intricate carvings in it. And you realize that it's one of those where it's almost like, remember those things where it was like dots, and then you would just like let your eyes relax, and then you would see like a 3D image come
out.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, magic eye puzzle.
Yeah, magic eye puzzle. And you go to grab it, and so this box is essentially a magic eye puzzle in that you stare at it, and the pattern etched into the side of this box, and it's like a dark, like a teak wood box. And as you're looking at it, you can see that the symbols have symbols within them.
Mm-hmm.
The etchings have etchings within them.
Right.
And then you feel yourself getting closer to it, and the etchings within the etchings have symbols in them. And then you see a symbol emerge. It becomes a V with a cross, an upside-down cross, extended from the point. And you, when it happens, you almost submerge.
She scribbles the symbol in front of her.
Okay.
Really quick. What is this? What is this?
All right. And he sees the way you're reacting, and he turns away so that way you can't see it anymore. And as soon as he does that, you're fine.
She's just drawing the symbol over and over again. Like, what is, like, scribbling over it. Like, what is this? What is this?
All right. He looks at what you're doing. He shakes his head as if he doesn't know. He takes the book that he had showed you originally, and he starts flipping through it, trying to find exactly what you're looking at.
Mm-hmm.
And then after a while, he lays it down. And it is this. And he flips it around and he says, that's it. And the heading and the script and everything is, what language did you speak?
Or is that in English?
Yeah, it's neither of those.
Dang it.
Okay. So yeah, you can't read this.
But I have a wealth of knowledge at my fingertips, Eric.
Well, yeah, you can do like...
Can I do like a Fugal Translate?
A Fugal Translate as your...
With my cyber eyes?
Yeah, so you're like, you take a picture, Fugal Translate it as best you can.
Magic
it brain. Doesn't give you context. It doesn't give you, you know, it's not going to be grammatically correct or anything. But it can give you a basic idea of what you're looking at. And it seems to revolve around the name Vulcan.
Vulcan.
So he shows it to you, and that's exactly, you know, something, symbol, Vulcan, blah, blah, blah.
It's something about Vulcan?
All right, and then he looks at it and he says, I'm not familiar with that. You saw that in the box?
Yeah, the symbols on the outside of it kept shifting, and then that, she, like, is pointing at it fervently. That's the one that stuck.
All right, and then you see him, he puts the box back into the safe and he closes it. And now he's looking at this, and he looks at you, and he says, you read Greek?
I just did a quick translate.
All right, he goes, seriously?
I'm a technomancer. What do you want from me, dude?
He says, Vulcan is it's a Roman name of the god of smiths.
Hephaestus.
That would be the Greek name.
Yeah. Okay. What?
He takes the picture of that you just wrote, and then he takes the picture of the symbol of Kenzu Kidora.
Right.
And then he says,
oh, would you look at that?
Oh, God.
He's like holding the symbol, and then he shows you the symbol of Kidora and says, they're very similar.
Yeah.
God damn it.
We're all having a crisis over here.
All right. So he's showing, you know, the symbol of Kenzo Kodora, the symbol for unity, and the symbol for the Roman god of smiths named Vulcan all have very similar pieces to them.
What the fuck does this mean now?
All right. You see his eyes turn towards, like, the bookshelf where he has the safe, and then he looks back at you. And he says, that box has been in my family for generations. I don't know how much you know of the history of...
your lineage?
No. The history of us as people. The history of magic. The history of dragons and elves.
Right.
These symbols were passed on from ages past. That box is one of the remnants of the fourth world. We live in the sixth world.
Yeah.
Before us was when magic was gone from the world.
Right.
When magic returned, it is the sixth world. The fourth world was when magic was still around.
Right.
That box is that old.
Yeah.
It is from an age before magic disappeared. Its primary use was to hide magical things through the fifth world, to keep them from being destroyed by those who hunted it.
Okay.
But I never saw that symbol in it before. I've seen the etchings and the etchings within the etchings, but you saw something more.
Yes.
How did you do that?
I don't know. It revealed itself to me. I don't know.
Fascinating.
Is there something wrong with me?
No. I think there's something very right with you. It's a lot to lay on you right now.
It's getting heavy, Doc.
And you clearly came here to find some answers and just ended up with more questions.
Yeah.
So perhaps we put a pin in this. And, I mean,
it's... Val's been getting told that a lot lately.
That's because you keep asking questions, you dumb hoe.
Let me do some research.
Okay.
Because clearly something I... You revealed something that I've studied that box for decades.
Mm-hmm.
And in 10 minutes, you revealed something about it that I never knew. Okay. And has never been recorded. This is significant, but I'm not exactly certain the meaning of it yet. Well then, and then that's when you hear on the door. Oh, someone else is here.
Jet is at the door. Dogleash is behind her, bright-eyed, bushy-tailed.
The door opens. You see Mr. Falstaff standing there. He goes, oh, why everyone's returning.
Yep, I had to make a quick detour, but we are A-okay and ready to go.
Who's your friend?
This is Dogleash, an associate of mine.
Dogleash, interesting name. And he says, yeah, what can you do? Okay, I'll take it as that.
But, well, hi, hello, how are you?
Hello. Are you bearers of interesting information? You're letting the air out, come on in.
Okay. How's stuff been here?
Interesting. Your patient is recovering.
Cool. Thank you again.
The recovery room's there. Your friend Collateral is in there.
Okay. Yeah, we can go talk to her. Did Binary make it here? Okay.
Oh, she's in the library.
Very nice. Okay.
I'm looking through the book.
Cool.
Okay.
I'm happy that we're all three here together and that we are recommitting to the mission. Okay, if it's okay, I'm going to go ahead and go just check on the patient real quick. Then I'll check on Binary. And then I may have something to talk to you about. But actually, no, it's really something I should talk to Binary about. But
okay.
Maybe you too. I don't know. We're playing it by ear tonight.
All right. And he motions towards the recovery room. He says, and I will be in the library with Binary.
Excellent.
And he says, as he's getting ready, he turns and he says, single malt scotch? Dogleash goes, I'll have one.
You swear to fucking God.
He goes, it's a rich guy's fucking.
Okay.
One. Come on, man.
One. That's it.
I mean, it's probably real scotch.
Yes, one. That's it. I'm putting my foot down on
a
this.
A big one. Just a medium one.
Medium.
All right, he goes, okay, medium one.
Three fingers.
Oh, my God.
He says, my fingers.
Okay. She smacks herself on the side of the face.
kind of, phew. All right, she's going to go see the patient.
As soon as you open the door, Collateral, like, grabs your hand, claps it with her other hand, and says, tag out!
Wait.
All right, thanks so much for taking over for me.
What are you doing?
I have an emergency.
What kind of an emergency?
It's a really big emergency.
Is it an heiress-related emergency, or?
In a way, yes. All right, bye.
Wait, whoa. Just, be careful out there.
Yeah.
Door opens up and you see the nurse walk in.
Nice. She's like, oh.
Shalindria.
Yes. And she says, I need to check on the patient. Don't mind me.
Cool.
Oh, yeah, right. One more thing. There might be some person with some healing magic coming in here soon. And also, nurse here is going to check in every now and then. So,
okay.
Just make sure nobody, you know, assassinates anyone and we'll be good.
Okay. Yeah, just make good choices, I guess. Keep us updated.
I only make good choices. And I sent you a text message earlier, right?
You did. But I put that out of my head because I hoped that it wasn't real. But that's okay. I am focusing on the mission, and what you do has no bearing on me.
Awesome. I just want to remind you that I have been doing the job as requested this entire time. No. I need a 15. Bye.
Yeah, no. Go do your shit.
As you're walking out, Shalindria looks and says, leaving so soon?
I'm sorry, I'm spoken for.
Okay. What's your name?
Jet. Nice to meet you.
Jet?
Yep.
Are you a pilot?
Nope. But I'm fast. And she winks.
She just goes,
Well.
Now, oh, man.
I have just drank a lot of coffee. I'm doing great. You do what you need to do.
All right. She's like, okay. And then she looks over at Dogleash, and Dogleash is looking at her. And you can tell he's very uncomfortable.
He texts him just like, everything okay?
All right. He just says, reminds me of somebody.
Does she?
No worries.
Okay. Cool. All right. I look at her and I squint and think. I don't know. Does she remind me of anybody?
No, not really.
Okay. Cool. And she goes, Okay, keep me posted.
And he's like, I'm going to go to the library. Unless you need me in here.
Nope, I will be fine.
All right. Nurse does her thing and then she leaves. She doesn't stick around.
That's fine. Actually, as she leaves, Jet is like, hey, actually, question. What was your name?
All right. She says, you can just call me Toddy.
Toddy? Sure. So, Toddy, what's the prognosis looking like here? I heard that it went well, but, like, what's the turnaround time look like?
Well, I mean, typically with this level of brain surgery, I mean, it could be a couple of days before she really is able. I mean, you really don't know until they wake up the extent of what they're going to be able to do. I mean, I've seen it where they have full recovery and everything, and then there's other cases where the swelling is so bad that they lose some function or memory or things like that.
Cool.
So the sooner she heals, the better.
Cool. And then and the other one, she kind of points.
Oh, the kid?
Yeah, the kid.
Oh, he's going to be fine. Yeah. See, and she kind of looks over at the door, and then she looks back at you, and she says, yeah, the kids, it was pretty typical cortex bomb for real. I mean, I've seen a few, and that one was basically right out of the box. The one in this one, though, that one was a little different.
That's what I've heard.
It was almost as if it was, it had almost like it was adapting as we were trying to remove it.
Like it was alive?
Well, or reactive, like it had nanotechnology within it.
Oh, gross.
And that was the main concern. And one of the reasons why we needed your friend was because we were afraid that it would, some of the adjusting material would either break free or whatnot and then go into her bloodstream or something like that, or just, you know, much like a malignant tumor would, pieces of it would break off and then form somewhere else and grow.
Right.
So we're not entirely certain that didn't happen, but I mean, she'll be alive long enough for you to finish your mission. That's for sure.
Okay, cool. Do you know I don't know if this is like something that you can tell. I'm not a tech guy. I'm not a medical guy. But okay. How long was it in there? Do you know? Like, can you tell that kind of thing?
Well, I'm not the doctor, but I mean, I've done enough of these. I could probably say there was enough scarring around it and myelination and whatnot. I would say it'd probably been in there at least a year, if not more. I mean, once you get past that, it's kind of hard to tell.
Right. But I mean, but this isn't like a, oh, God, it just got put in, you know, 3 days ago or whatever.
No.
Okay.
The speculation, or at least, well, the crusty guy took it, but the way that it formed and whatnot, I mean, I wouldn't be entirely surprised if it was introduced into her system, or at least into her as a very, very small sample, and it replicated into what it was.
I mean, could it have been something like in her food, or like,
I mean, potentially.
Oh.
I mean, it was in her brain, so it's not it's not real easy for food to pass into a brain. Very likely it was introduced into her bloodstream.
Bloodstream, got it. Interesting. Okay. All right. Well, thank you very much. Mm-hmm. She texts Binary.
What's up, Beach?
You doing okay in there? Everything good?
A lot is happening tonight.
Dogleash walks in and goes, "Where's the booze?"
On the cart.
Nighty walks over. He's like, "Three fingers," and he like has his fingers like separated,
spaced out.
This fucker.
Val texts Jet. What are you doing right now?
Watching the patient.
Okay. Is that just what we're doing now? Like, where'd Joe go? Joe, where are you?
I take it a 15.
So you're just not going to tell us where you're going?
I told Jet where I was going.
She's doing something kind of Eris related.
So it's Eris adjacent.
It's Eris adjacent. So whatever. It's her girlfriend.
Okay. So fine, I guess? Question mark. Be safe.
LOL, like I said, make good choices.
I only make bad ones. And it's just two finger guns with the sunglasses emoji.
Good.
Jeez Louise. Jet, I'm in the library. Dogleash is in here pouring drinks, so I'm sure he'll be sugared
drinks
up.
And squinty eye emoji.
I mean, so far he's only poured the one.
Was it in a highball?
It's a pretty hefty pour, but it's fine.
Okay, just making sure.
Yeah. You need me for anything right now, or?
Not this very second. I'm just, you know, I'm gonna be honest. I've been sitting watching this lady for, you know, fucking collateral excluded. I've done a lot of sitting and watching this lady today. So I have a short attention span. So if someone wants to come in and keep me company, that would be stellar.
Yeah. I mean, do you have to sit in there? I don't understand why we have to sit in there with her.
What if someone comes in and tries to stab her?
An assassin! You guys were so worried.
Coming into the house without us knowing, without Falstaff knowing?
Dear! Yeah. She says, bolded and underlined.
Well, not only that, but Vori. The Vori are here. And if she's doing something against the Vori, I would not put it past them.
All right. Well, I can come in there with you and keep you company.
Yeah. Or send Dogleash in. I don't care. Bring a book, something. It doesn't matter.
I should stop texting and driving. I'll talk to you guys later.
William. Can I call you William?
That's my name. He says, you say, can I call you William?
Yeah.
He says, you can call me Billy.
I hate that, but okay. Okay. Billy. I want to respect your things. Can I take the book with me to go sit with Jet?
By all means.
Okay. Also, keep an eye out for him, because he'll just keep pouring.
Dogleash is sitting there. He's got his highball glass with his three fingers of fine scotch. He's sitting in a padded chair, and he's got a book in his other hand. And he says, don't worry about me. I'm perfectly fine. He takes a sip.
This motherfucker.
What a dick.
And Falstaff looks at him, and then as you're walking out, Dogleash says, so, old man, do you have any cigars? It's like, yeah, sure. Yeah, humidor's this way.
He just needs a bathrobe.
And like an ascot.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Some house slippers.
All right, yeah. And so you walk into the recovery room.
Jet's doing push-ups.
What the? Val walks in. Okay. Yeah.
You got a problem?
No, I just, this is not what I was expecting.
I just...
Are you feeling a little antsy there, babe?
Yeah, I mean, like, well, I mean, it's what we talked about earlier.
Yeah.
It's got me a little, you know.
This has been the shittiest 24 hours ever.
You got your boyfriend back. That's pretty lit.
Yeah.
So he is your boyfriend.
I mean, I don't know. Maybe.
Okay. No, I mean, it's, are there any bugs in this room? How many bugs are in this room? That's what I need to know.
Besides the one on you?
Yeah, besides the one on me. Shift's not paying attention. She didn't give a shit.
I see two.
Two? So she texts you and she just says, yeah, you know, all the shit about like being kidnapped has me feeling a little off balance, you know?
She responds audibly. Yeah, I get that.
Also, if Dr. Kobe was looking into, like, you know, technomancers and immortal elves, then what was he doing with me? I am neither of those things. Pretty undeniably neither.
I mean, given what I'm starting to understand, it's probably some kind of trophy thing. Just a collection.
It's gross.
Yeah, tell me about it. So I've made some discoveries.
Yeah. About what?
Come in.
You see this shabby looking guy with like lank grayish brown hair, and he's got like a gray overcoat and smells really musty. He says, I'm here to tend to the patient.
Can I judge intent?
Yeah, sure.
Cool. I don't trust anybody.
No trust yet.
I'm going to go ahead and use four edge to reroll my failures.
Your failures, okay.
Yep. Four, got two left over. Five.
All right, so you judge intent. You get the impression that this guy really doesn't want to be here and that he's legit about, you know, he's here to see whoever's here. But you also get the impression that he's keeping like mental stock of everything he sees. You seem like looking around, like taking stock of everything that's in here.
Okay, cool. Yeah, as long as he's not like, as long as I don't see murder in his eyes.
No, there is no murder.
Cool.
And as he's walking in, as if you let him in, then you see this like little, completely mangy Jack Russell Terrier right behind him, and it's got three legs.
Yes! I say, is he working or can I say hi?
All right, he looks down and he says, yeah, just don't give him any food.
Wouldn't dream of it. And she's going to get down and she's like, hey, buddy.
All right, it kind of sniffs your hand and then single lick.
I love it.
I scratch behind the ears. Right. Delightful.
Yeah, and you can just feel the gunk in his fur. And, you know, like the flea bites.
Yum.
All right, and, the guy walks over to the and he goes, I assume this is the patient. He kind of grins as if he made a funny joke, and you see he's got like three teeth in his head, and two of them are black.
What you gonna do here, buddy? Who are you? Sorry.
He goes, oh yeah, I'm sorry, man. I'm Fleabag. I'm the master of the house. Called for a shaman to do some magical healing.
Tracks.
Okay.
Just quick question. None of you are squeamish in any way, are you?
No.
No.
Okay. Anybody got a problem with smells?
No.
No.
Cool. You're welcome to stay.
I do.
All right. You see him. He walks over to the patient. Like I said, she's intubated and everything. And he just like pulls the tube out of her throat.
Jesus.
And he reaches into a pocket, pulls something. Looks kind of oblong shaped, sticks it in her mouth and just kind of sticks it in there and just kind of closes her mouth and just starts massaging her throat.
What the fuck was that?
He goes, what?
What is that?
He goes, oh, it's dog shit.
What is that going to do besides give her a fucking infection?
All right, he says, let me do my thing, please.
I'm genuinely curious at this point.
It's magic shit. I don't know.
Literally.
Yeah.
And he says, generally it only takes like two or three.
Two or three turds? Why are you shoving shit down this poor woman's throat?
He says, I don't question what you do. how you.
Because I don't shove shit down people's throats.
It's gonna be okay, Binary. It's gonna be okay. Binary.
I'm not squeamish by any means. Like, I'm just
stay strong, Binary.
What? Okay. Can you?
And you see him pull another one out of his pocket, and he just kind of sticks it in there.
Can you explain the methodology here? What is this going to do?
All right, he's looking at you, and he looks down at the Jack Russell Terrier, and he goes, Brown, if this doesn't work, I'm going to need another one.
No!
All right, and he looks up at you, and he goes, I'm a dog shaman. We're healers, okay? We all have our own methods. Some dudes bite you. Some chicks lick you. Sorry, man.
Jet, it starts giggling uncontrollably. Just yeah, they do.
So you're just gonna keep force feeding this woman turds until she's better? What? Okay. What is the after effect of this?
Well, don't kiss her.
Yeah,
she's gonna have some pretty rancid breath for a while.
I will attempt not to, but I made no promises on her end.
I've got to concentrate. Hold on. He kind of puts his, and you see her kind of go, like that, and he like puts his hand over her mouth, and he goes, yeah, if she barfs, then we got to start all over again. And he's just like, puts his hand on her mouth, puts a hand on her throat, and you see him just kind of closing his eyes, and he says, okay, nobody talk. And then he lets her go, turns, and he says, all right, Brown, let's go. And the three-legged dog just kind of hops up.
Do we need to put the thing back in?
No, she should be good.
How long until we know it worked?
Right, she starts coughing. He goes, about that long.
Is she going to puke?
If she pukes now, it's fine.
Okay.
Okay.
I actually, honestly, I would recommend it. Anybody else hurt?
No, I'm fine. Thank you for asking. I've taken severe mental damage.
I got nothing for that. All right, then. Here, let me, he kind of like feels around and he goes, oh, wait. And he like reaches up to the dog. His name is Brown. And now you realize that the Jack Russell Terrier is wearing like a little sweater. Oh. But it's all so matted that you couldn't really tell it between his fur and that. And you see him reach up underneath it. And he pulls this like soggy card and he hands it to you. He goes, yeah, give me a call if you ever need anything.
For sure.
Come on, Brown. Let's go.
I said it gingerly on like the table.
And he walks out.
I go over to Dr. Singh and...
Her eyes flutter for a moment, and she looks at you, and she goes...
I run over.
And she starts, like, dry heaving.
I grab the
trash can.
Okay.
In the room. Just.
Yep. She retches a couple of times.
There you go, doctor.
And then she kind of, like, rolls back, and her eyes open up, and she kind of looks around, and she goes, oh, can I have some water?
I pour her a cup full of water.
All right. And she starts sipping it.
How are you feeling, Doc?
Oof. I mean, like shit.
That's accurate.
You are what you eat.
Stop it, Maddie.
All right. She says, how long was I out?
Like 12 hours or so.
Oh.
A little more, maybe.
Where's Benny?
Upstairs, he's resting.
Yeah. He's okay?
He's fine.
You both just went through pretty major surgery.
I've been out for 12 hours?
Yeah, just about.
All right, and you see her kind of look around. Now... Clearly, they had to shave her head to get to where they needed to go. All right. And she says, don't bullshit me. How do I look?
You look fine. Honestly, you look better than I thought you would, given the circumstances.
She holds out her hand. Mirror.
Yeah. She takes out a compact.
All right. She goes, why didn't they just shave the rest of it?
Do you want me to, like, I'm sure that we can make
was
that happen.
Like riffraff?
Yes.
I'm sure we can make that happen, Dr. Singh.
Okay. Well, considering I just had major brain surgery, I actually don't feel too bad.
Well, yeah, a magic man just came in and did some magic.
Yeah, that's all you need to know.
Oh, a mage healed me?
Yes.
After my surgery?
Yes.
Oh, that was smart.
Yeah.
Okay. Can I sit up?
Slowly.
For sure, yeah.
I pressed the button on the
bed.
On the bed.
Have her sit up. All right, yes. She kind of sits up. Can I have some more water, please?
Yeah, for sure. All right. Dr. Singh, sorry, I know you met me, but this is Binary, one of my colleagues.
Hello.
Hi.
Thank you for your help.
Yeah.
And thank you for the help with my son.
I might have accidentally traumatized him a little bit, but I think he's okay.
What do you mean?
It was just trying to get him out of school to, you know.
Oh. I'm sure he'll recover then, if it's just embarrassment.
Yeah.
More so on my end.
Oh, then he'll never let you live it down if he ever interacts with you again.
I'm glad to see you up. We were genuinely pretty worried for a little bit.
Yeah.
Still very tired, though.
Yeah, I mean, fair enough.
Well, I'll tell you what. Mm. Let me get some sleep, and then I'll I can see my son.
Yeah,
of course.
Okay. And she just kind of falls asleep. And we will cut over to Joe. Where are you going?
Yeah, Joe, where are you going?
I'm going. I call Madam Peabody and ask her, or I call her assistant. I don't want to talk to Madam Peabody.
Oh, Sergey?
I call Sergey and I ask what's Madame's
location? This is Sergey.
Hey, Sergey, what's Madame's location?
She is at the cabin.
Loud and clear. Thanks. Click. And I go to the cabin.
Okay. You walk into the cabin and you see Madam Peabody. She's sitting in a magical circle and looks like she had either just finished a ritual or maybe you interrupted the ritual. You're not quite exactly certain because as soon as you walk in, she opens her eyes and looks at you. And she says, have you spoken to my granddaughter?
No.
The Eric squint.
That's terrifying.
Nice try.
Have a seat.
I sit. A little late for door unlocking.
Is there a time frame?
I usually don't expect you to call me at 2 a.m.
When we have revelations, these things, they need to be handled at the appropriate time.
I see.
Sit.
She sits.
All right. She's like, we will begin as we always do. And then she starts going into this whole mantra of, you know, syncing up your psychic connection and all of that. And then eventually you both go into astral space and Bodica is there with you. And as soon as you go into astral space, it's like you immediately go into this area that you've been working on. And you see that the door that you had gone through before has been like blown open.
Mm-hmm.
And now you kind of go through it. And before, you only got to a certain point, and then you just felt like you had to go back. You just couldn't go any farther. And it was just something about the environment that just didn't feel right. Well, you get to that point again, but now that you kind of see that some of the things that were terrifying to you have been sealed by this glowing, like, spider web of almost like mercury that's, like, filled these cracks in this passageway, and you follow it down to a cave with a glowing blue door. And Monica says, she's paved the way for you.
I see. What do you think's behind door number 2?
Monica looks at it for a moment and says, how close can you see? There's binding to it.
I'll get as close as I can.
Okay. And when you get like right up on it, you can see that it's not actually a blue door. It's actually a black door with blue binds, like metal strips that kind of go crisscross throughout it, like a lattice work. And you see this symbol etched into it, the symbol of Kenzu Kadora.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Resting Glitch Face. Theme music by Synthesk. Background music by Machinima Sound. Outro music by Austin Miller. Edited and produced by Sid. Continuity Consulting by Dot. Shadowrun is property of Catalyst Game Labs. Resting Glitch Face is a production of Openly Gamer Theater and property of Side Tangent Productions.